from KQED.
Well, this morning, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, died at age 76 from pancreatic cancer at her home in Detroit. She was pioneering as an American musician, civil rights activist, and a true musical legend. And we're going to pay our respects, and we want to hear from you about your memories and your favorite songs, and you can call us now at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. We want to speak with Ricky Vinson, lecturer on African-American Studies at UC Berkeley, host of The History of Funk on KPFA Radio, and author of Party Music, The Inside Story of the Black Panthers Band and How Black Power Transformed Soul Music. Ricky, welcome to the program.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here.
Unfortunately.
Well, it's a sad moment. But we're celebrating her magnificence, if you will. And she was an extraordinary figure, not only in soul music, pop music, gospel, opera, you name it. The versatility is what comes to my mind immediately, but also that extraordinary voice. What are you thinking about?
It was an extraordinary voice, and it was an extraordinary person that embodied the title of queen, and that word isn't even enough, because she lived a life that was common to the black experience, which made her connected to everyone, and yet she basically was our living royalty. So the title was earned, and some people are given a title for promotional reasons, and Aretha Franklin earned that title by being someone that people identified soul and soul music with. And so an era has definitely ended. And this is an epic day, similar to when Michael Jackson passed.
Well, it's a sad day, too, in so many people's minds, because they remember her as being, well, I rarely use this word, but this magnificent presence. And she really had much more of an enormous effect on civil rights than most people realize. I mean, just the song Respect really resonated throughout the black community in America.
It resonated around the black community. It was a women's anthem as well. And Aretha was taking a form that was established. That was a song originally written by Otis Redding about the patriarchal, male coming home asking for respect. And she flipped that around. She's known to do that in a lot of her catalog, to take a song identified with men and do it in a different way. And it was bold but subtle. And that's why we revere her so much, because she did these amazing things and didn't ask for the hoopla. We just sort of just basked in reverence for who she was and what she did.
And I'm glad you mentioned the effect that she not only had on black communities throughout the United States, but also women. In fact, here's a song that she brought to life that Carole King wrote.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so
she was able to transform so many songs. I'm looking at a comment here from one of our listeners. We're getting some eulogies and some memories. And Matt writes, I just marvel at how she transformed the Beatles classics, Eleanor Rigby. And then he goes on to say, no feet can fill those shoes. Another comment from LaWanda, who says, when I was growing up in Los Angeles, my mother would have the radio on in the kitchen. Aretha would be singing gospel music from her father's church in Detroit, and I was very young and would hear her voice boom all over the house. This was the 1960s. I remember when she started singing rhythm and blues. I was in high school. What a career. She will be missed. And let me hear from our listeners. We're talking with Ricky Vinson, and let's hear from Petaluma caller. Dick, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. I was lucky enough to see Aretha twice in the Bay Area, one of the Fillmore West nights, and then also one night at Circle Star Theater at the end of her show, doing Respect for the Encore. She shattered the whole sound system and just dropped the mic and stood at the edge of the stage and just sang without any amplification, and it was just an unbelievable moment in my life.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Dick, and I want to go to you on this, Ricky, because there were real Bay Area connections. I mean, the live album, live at the Fillmore West, and the encore, Ray Charles.
Yeah, the Fillmore West was, for a lot of people, their first exposure on record to what Aretha could do to transform a room. An experience and make it live. And the fact that they brought Ray Charles was one of the few people that could match Aretha note for note in terms of soulfulness and on stage and with the presence. And so that was a monumental moment around 1970, 71 when Aretha did that. And, the Circle Star Theater, I don't know if I was at that one, but I remember Aretha doing something like that back in the day. The Circle Star Theater, people remember that was a rotating stage, and it had a lot of interesting views and interesting performances back then. And so for Aretha to do that and then blow it out without any amplification, that's something you'll never forget. And she always seemed to have that extra gear that she held back until it was truly necessary to deliver. And that was something that an artist really knows how to do. They don't just give away something over the top. They use it and work with it. And she had an incredible skill, but she delivered it in a very creative and masterful fashion.
She was,
artistry.
I was going to say she was a consummate artist. And here's Janice, who writes, R.I.P., sweet Aretha, thank you for all the wonderful music you brought us and all those memories your music will bring us. God has another angel up in heaven's choir, and they are rocking out up there. Sounds like the Night Shift, if you remember that song, Ricky. And she'll join the Night Shift. Here's Kevin joining us. Kevin, welcome.
Hi, I just wanted to say, I was born in 88, and my mom would sing Say a Little Prayer for me every night before bed. And to this day, my mom is a Mexican-American from Stockton. My dad is a white guy from the Rust Belt, and I'm just a 29-year-old, and Aretha is one of the only artists that we can all, like, jam out to. As soon as any one of her songs came on, we just turn up the volume up.
Thank you for that call, Kevin. Good to hear from you, and I appreciate the call. We'll go to another caller here. Owen is next. Owen, you're on.
Hi. I share something with Aretha and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We both have pancreatic cancer. I'm trying not to get emotional.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But you know, she had to go. I survived it because I was 39 when I got it. But I was upset when I heard it. But, you know, the pain is horrific from that. And I just said, when I did my prayers last night, I said, Aretha, if you got to go, you got to go. Oh, one last thing. I got to see her last concert at Oakland Coliseum. And I was upset because I thought she wasn't going to do her signature song, Respect. So we're all rushing towards BART because BART, when, you know, Muni stops running at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, all these people are filing out of the theater. She does what do we hear when we're on the bridge to BART? We hear her singing Respect. So Aretha, peace out. You were the soundtrack of my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Gwen, and good to hear from you. And let me go back to Ricky Vinson, who's with us, lecturer of African-American Studies at UC Berkeley and host of History of Funk on KPFA Radio and author of Party Music. Ricky, I think you were, at one point said that she combined the secular and the sacred. You hardly can talk about Aretha Franklin without talking about God, because her roots were so much with gospel in the church.
Her roots were in gospel. Her life was in gospel. She was raised in her father's church in Detroit. But then very early on, as a teenager, she was taken to New York to record on Columbia Records, which was really not the right fit for her. They tried to polish her sound, and it wasn't until 6 years later that Jerry Wexler took her to Alabama to Muscle Shoals and let her loose and said, here's a piano, do what you do. And she was able to take all the passion and power and spirit of the church and put it in songs like I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You and Respect. And all of a sudden, this new standard of soul music emerged. And it was this organic fusion of gospel, spiritual strength and the raw passion of rhythm and blues all at once. And the other caller made an important case that it was universal, even though she was a black entertainer. And that's what soul music is about. It's specific to a black experience, and yet it's universal for everyone, all at the same time.
Ricky, I have to tell you, the first time I heard the Righteous Brothers sing You've Lost That Love and Feeling, I thought, whoa, I mean, this is call it white soul or whatever you want, but it was soul music. And if she was the queen of soul, as we've said, Ray Charles was the king, and I have another listener who remembers that night at the Fillmore West. Dwayne, join us. You're on the air.
Hello, and I'm so glad to be able to remember this. One other quick comment about this is that during the civil rights movement, when there was so much turmoil in our country, black against white and so on, those great Muscle Shoals recording sessions where black and white musicians came together to make that iconic music. I'm just remembering that now.
Yes.
At any rate, I came of age when Aretha was in her prime, and I remember and was at the 1971 concert at the old Fillmore West when her hit at the time was Spirit in the Dark. I remember there, I was standing right there at the stage, and we were all waiting for her to sing Spirit in the Dark, her signature tune. At the time, she played one chorus, and then she got up from the piano and she said, I'll be right back. She went behind the curtain, came back onto the stage with Ray Charles on her arm. And I'm telling you, that was an electrifying moment. I get chills even all this time later thinking about that. And the other thing is, fast forward to an episode on American Masters when it was featuring her life and work. She, on camera, recounted that very same concert, saying it was one of her most memorable concerts. I was happy to be part of it.
And Dwayne, I thank you for sharing that memory. And lots of memories. Ricky Vincent, as you said, she, I think as we both said here, she was incomparable, remarkable, and she will indeed be remembered and missed. We're going to go out with I Say a Little Prayer for You. This is live from the Hollywood Palace in 1968, the great Aretha Franklin.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, who believe that all people deserve access to education and culture to enrich a lifetime of exploration and learning.